We're continuing on Hedrin Chaf Hamer Beis. The Gemara continues to bring other brises, adding on additional psulim to what the Mishnah already had taught us. So the Gemara in Chaf Hamer Beis tells us Tana Odo Sifu, there's another three people who are disqualified from Edus and Dayanim, and they are Haroim, the shepherds, Hagabayim, the people who collect money, Hamuchsim, the tax collectors. Now the difference between Hagabayim and Muchsim is in fact the Machlokes, Rashi versus Rabbeinu Hanano. Not much doing there, so we're not going to go into that, but just keep that in mind. The definitions are argued upon. Roim, Muchsim, Hagabayim. Muchsim is it. So the Gemara says, Roim, Mei, Kara, Savar, Akrai, Ba'alma. It was just like a happenstance in the beginning, what the Roim would do. And came into Chazi to Kamechavni. Once the Rabbanim saw they were doing things intentionally, not just happenstance, Vishadu Lechachil, and they would take it, Lechachil, they would go ahead and do whatever they'd be doing. Gazuhubar Rabbanim. Rabbanim goes that these people are possible as well. Okay. So, what exactly were they doing? So Rashi says that Akrai Ba'alma, that which the animals would go into other people's fields, that was Akrai Ba'alma. The roi akraihu, it would just happen sometimes. The ain haro miskavin lekach, he wouldn't do this intentionally. It would just kind of happen. But once they start intentionally bringing their behemoths into other people's fields, so then they're bound to know it. Let's step in. These people are going to be possible with their bond also. Okay. Rabbeinu Chananel says differently. Rabbeinu Chananel says no. What was going on was that the roim came into chazi lehu de shaklim and hazram. The shepherds themselves were taking zraim. The shebesados bnei adam of other people, the shadu kamayu behem tayu, they would throw it in front of the animals so that the animals could eat. Pasalin rabbanan, rabbanan pasal them. Okay, so Pashas is that these roim, even when they were taking the things or leading the animals into other fields, was only a psul with rabbanan. It wasn't a psul the rice, it was a psul with rabbanan. Even after they started taking things actively, it was a psul derban. So what exactly is the psul derban? What was the isser that they were involved in, or maybe, not involved in? I mean, isn't this stealing, what they're doing? Shouldn't this be pasul mideraisa? If these roim were taking them, they were actively bringing the animals into other people's fields, that's going to be gzela. They should be pasul mideraisa. Why is it only pasul mideraban? So, Pashas is that Rashi would be the shitaso. The Rashi thinks it's only gzeil deraisa when there's a maisa chatifa. When the animal, even though I lead the animal into someone else's field, that's not going to be a maisa chatifa, that's not going to be a gzeil derabanan, that's only going to create a psul derabanan, gzeil derabanan. I'm not doing, there's going to be a hefsid mamun, of course, but it's not me, it's not my action, not a vayigzal sachanis.
It's like an accident.
Right, so what you're suggesting, you're saying a different read. Now, when they would actually lead the animals into the other fields, that's for sure psul deraisa. But the psul derabanan the Gemara is talking about is even before they had necessarily done that, they'd be carpon. Anybody, all roim are going to be pasul mideraisa. But when you actually lead it into the animal, the animal's in, intentionally, that's pasul deraisa.
Not all roim. Roim that where their animals happen to have gotten.
Well, I'm saying, a stam roe would be pasul mideraisa. If we saw them actually going in, that would be created psul deraisa. It's a different read. I mean, the first read we were saying was no, even when they went in, even though I led them in to the other people's land, that's only psul deraisa. That's how I read it. And it makes sense because Rashi, the Shitaso, it's not going to be Gzela deraisa because there was no Maisa Chatifa. It's only Psul derabanan. Meir suggesting, no. When you lead the animals into the other people's lands, that's going to be a Psul deraisa.
Maybe it is a Maisa Chatifa.
Ah, so that's what Jake was saying also. Maybe it is Psul deraisa. Maybe you could expand the definition of a Maisa Chatifa. It doesn't have to be that I be a dime or doing Maisa Chatifa. Even my animal is doing a Mais Chatifa, that's an extension of me, that'd also be a Mais Chatifa in Bichla Gezo. That's also a very good read. You were trying to get at something like that also.
If you say that, then why, if the question comes back, why you're not Chayim Deraisa? Why is that puzzling the Raisa?
Well, you are. So what Mayor's suggesting is, if I see that you are leading your animals in, you're going to be the one who's puzzling the Raisa. The Stamro, who I haven't yet saw, he's puzzling their bottom. So that's actually Meduyuk in the way the Yad Ramah says something like that. We'll get within Rabbeinu Chanan, we'll get back to that in a second. Okay, so that's two ways to read Rashi. And now Rabbeinu Chanan. So what about Rabbeinu Chanan? Rabbeinu Chanan, so he doesn't really have this Meikara line and stuff in the Akra B'Alma. But he says when the person, the shepherd, the Roa, takes the food and puts it in front of the Hema, that's going to create a Psul D'Rabbanan. Pass the Rabbanan. So why is only Psul D'Rabbanan? That should be Mamash Psul D'Raisa. That's stealing. Whether you understand it's a Maisa Chatifa, or whether you understand it's about Hefsid Mamon, either way, however you slice it, it's going to be Gzela D'Raisa. So why is that not... Psul D'Raisa? Why is that only Psul D'Rabbanan? According to the Rabbeinu Chanan. Again, he says, "Came the Chazalu the Shakli min Hazroim shebesadlus meyadam v'shadu kama b'hem tayu pass the Rabbanan. Rabbanan passed them. That should be Psul D'Raisa. So according to Rabbeinu Chanan in front of us, it seems to sound like it's just a Psul D'Rabbanan. It sounds like it's only a Psul D'Rabbanan according to Rabbeinu Chanan.
Right. So they made it for the other people.
Right. So that's how you. So that you're reading that way, and that's how Yad Ramah reads it. Yad Ramah writes." So he writes as follows. Once they saw people actively taking it, like Shitas Rabbeinu Chanano, Gazu Barabanan, Bechulu Afilu Mistama. They made a Gzair on all Roim. Stam Roa is not Pasam Derbanan. But Eina Chanami, if you were a Roa who would actively take away the Zrum and place it in front of your Behema, that'd be Psul D'Raisa. That's Mamish Gzela.
Especially what it makes sense to read the other way,
I mean, if it's really Psul D'Raisa,
there are going to be some animals that are completely off the hook. That wouldn't make any sense. That there's some animals that you'd be stealing with, and you'd be completely mother.
But he's talking about, right, exactly. It sounds from the continuation, like you're out of mo, that Rabbeinu Chanan is talking about a Stam person, a Stam Roa. We don't know any better. Because he says a Stam Roa, it's only going to be possible if he's grazing somebody else's animals. But if he's grazing his own animal, he's not going to be possible because people don't sin with their own animals. With other animals, maybe they will.
This is a little radical.
Okay.
But the first Rashi in the Sefta, from the Pasuk of Hachotiv Miyata Mitzri.
Yes.
Could it be that anyone views that the Gezel of Chituf is only specifically like from the real derisive form? And if you're going to get from that Pasuk, it's specifically from the miyad, the person themselves, as opposed to, let's say, it's just lying there. And even though it's a maisel chituf, it's an actual, like, you have to take it from their actual, to
you can't say
literal into the...
Yeah, because you find gzela, even with taking people as a property that is not necessarily in their hand. You might find gzela in certain cases on things that grow. Even there's certain instances where it might be certain karka that might be an gzelas. Not actual property, but things that grow on the land, the things that are... The first Tosfos in Baba Kama talks about... Meruba in Baba Kama talk about this. Certain things that are attached to the ground, Mechuber, might still have Gzela. Well, it's not Biyadayim, it's not Biyad Hamitsu. So I don't think it has to be Dafka that. Okay. So, now, the interesting thing is that none of these Rishonim explain that this is all a problem of Gzela. No one says that at all. Rashi doesn't say that, Rabbeinu Chanan, no one says Gzela. You look in the Rashbam, he talks about Gzeil. Rashbam in Baba Basra, Kuf Chav Chesem Lav, he wants to know why in the Mishnah we talk about Gimel Roi Bakar. Why Roi Bakar? Why not Roi Tzon? Why Bakar? Why Behema Gasas, not Behema Dakas? Shouldn't they, just like a Roi Bakar would qualify for an Emelei Abba, so to Roi Tzon would be a good Kibbutz Ayodin? So Rashbam says, V'Roi Tzon Lo Naked. We didn't use Roi Tzon as the example. Mishum derishaim ninu, derishaim. Why? The stam roi behemadaka gazlan ninu. Roi bakar behemadaka is a gazlan. Upsul lechol din shavolam. Sounds like even for kibulai, which is very interesting. Like kibulai might have a certain limit. Sounds like maybe for a real rasha gemura, kibulai wouldn't work. Something to keep in mind for the other sugars we've done. But it's all midin gzela. Okay, that's what he talks about in the world of gzela. Rabbi Akiva Eger on our daf in the Gideon Ashas has this question. He doesn't really say what the question is, but he said Tzarachin Gadol. What is Tzarachin Gadol? Tzarachin Gadol is, anyone know what Tzarachin Gadol is? Anyone want to? There, you got it?
I've been working on it for 3 years.
For 3 years?
Yes. I think you're asking me what the word Tzarachin Gadol
means. Not what it means, but what is the Tzarachin Gadol? Why does he have such a major kasha here on the Rashbam? Rashbam is going against our Gemara. Our Gemara says later on, let's read it. Gemara says, Amar Rava, this is 1, 2, 3, 6 Y lines down. Amar Rava, Roa Shamru Echad Roa Behema Daka Ve'echad Roa Behema Gasa. When we say a Roa is possible, it means whether you're a Roa of a larger animal or a Roa of a smaller animal. Whether you're Roa Bakar or whether it's Roa Tzon, both of them are possible. However, Rashbam is Mechalik between a Roa Tzon and a Roa Bakar, between a Behema Daka and a Behema Gasa. How is the Rashbam going to deal with this? Why is a Roa Bakar any better than a Roa Tzon? So the Rukaveger brings, and in this quote, the Sefer Shoshanim LeDavid, who quotes from the Av Bezdin, I think he's quoting from, says as follows: the Mishnah of Roi Bakar was written before the Gzera of all Roim. So when the Mishnah was written, only Roi Tzon were excluded because of Gzela, not Roi Bakar. It wasn't until later on that the Tana added on additional psulim that even Roi Bakar are also going to be disqualified. So it's a historical thing. Rashbam was talking pre the Gzera, the Gemara is talking about post Gzera. And everything works out fine. But all midin Gzela. Now, it doesn't really work out so fine because Rabbi Kiviger says, I don't understand what you're saying. Because if you're saying Rashbam is talking about before the Gzera, and there's a Gzela, the reason why Roi Tzon is going to be possible because of, he lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, there's always a problem of raising Roi Tzon. Well, the reason why you can't raise Tzon in Eretz Yisrael is not because of Gzela, like the Rashbam says, it's because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because if I were to raise Tzon in Eretz Yisrael, these sheep are going to go around, eat all the land, even though they're not owned by anyone, they're going to eat all the pasture, and then it's not going to be able to grow more. It won't be good for the growth of Eretz Yisrael. But not because there's Gzela there. So if you say that Rashbam is talking about pre-Gzera of all Roim, the only problem of Roa at that point was the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But Rashbam clearly says the problem is Gzela. What's the problem? There's no Gzela here. There's no Gzela of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What's it? Gzela Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? I understand. That's the Kasha Rabbi Kiviger ends off with. Everyone with me on that? Okay. So let's leave that aside, and hopefully we'll come back and try to answer this Rabbi Kiviger. So let's look now at a different Rabbi Kiviger on Choshen Mishpat, which may give us an entirely different perspective of this Gemara. Rabbi Kiviger, Choshen Mishpat, Simon Sadi Beis, Sif Aleph, quotes a very, very interesting Machlokes Achronim, which for those of you who are doing Baba Kama at night, is very, very interesting. He says as follows. The Bach, earlier in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Lamed Daled, writes, quoting from the Mordechai, that Hamazik Mamon Shel Chavero, if I damage your property, b'mezid, af apisha daita l'shalim, even though I've got the intention to pay you back the damage, have a rush the Hamas. You are a rush the Hamas for damaging, and therefore pasul eidus. Then he quotes from the Yam Shel Shlomo, 6th parak of Baba Kama, Simon Lamed, the lo matzini mazik mamun chaver biyadayim pasul eidus. We don't find anywhere, there's no chazal who talk about that a mazik is pasul eidus. All the sukkahs here in the 3rd parak know or do find mentioned about mazik. It's pasul eidus. So basically, the machok is whether mazik is pasul eidus or not. So perhaps that might be the machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Chanan, I don't know. Remember, Rashi Rabbeinu Chanan never mentioned the Issek Zela here. Now, it makes a lot of sense because that's what we're talking about. All these types of cases are cases of Zela. But maybe we could look at them from a perspective of Nezikin now. Maybe they're arguing about Nezikin. How does this make sense? How does this fit in? So, Rashi thinks, like what Meir was suggesting, that if the Roim were to take the animals and lead them into the other people's yards or fields, that would be a psul deraisa. Now, I think I agree, that's the simplest reading. That's probably how Yad Ramah understood it. The gzera was only to everybody else, the stam roim. But if you were a roa who we knew took your behema into another person's field, for sure that would be possible with deraisa. Now, we said, well, if it's possible with deraisa, so there's going to be gzela here. Where's the gzela for Rashi? Rashi thinks it's about mais chatifa. That's the gzela. Taking a behema into another person's field is mais chatifa? Well, you suggested maybe yes, it is. I'm not so comfortable. Maybe it's not. Maybe mais chatifa is only when you do it yourself. Can't send the shliach, can't send the behema to do mais chatifa. So maybe Rashi thinks, what's the psul deraisa of sending in a behema into another person's field? It's mazik b'yadayim. Sending my behema in someone else's field, that's mazik, that's nizikin. And nizikin, being mazik, someone else's property, that's going to be psul deraisa. Like the shita of the Bach, quoted in Ruki Vager.
Yeah, he's read the deraisa business.
The stam, everyone agrees, a stam roe would only be derabanan. The question is, if you're an individual who actually leads your behemoth into the field, it's unclear whether that creates a psul deraisa or psul derabanan.
Okay.
It was
similar to. I don't know what anyone holds.
It's really no one really talks about it explicitly. No one does. You could say both directions. It seems like Yad Ramah thinks that it's a, for sure a psul deraisa if you're one of the people taking it. The gzera is only on the stam people. That was the gzera, on stam people. Okay. Implying if you're not a stam person, you're one of the people who do lead your animal into the field. It's a psul deraisa. So we want to know what's that psul deraisa.
And the Gemara says you're in skavnu, no?
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean you're leading into the field?
That means you are leading into the field.
And it still says there were goes there.
No, they were goes. Once they saw people were leading in, they were gozer. What were they gozer? Yadamah says you're gozer on stam people. No, your goes on people taking your animals in. No. Yad Ramah says your goes on the stam person, implying that if you're the one in the roim who bring your animals into the field, that's not even a gzera, that's psul deraisa.
Does he make that implication?
The implication, okay. I think, is there. I think that's how I would read it.
Okay, if it's only on these people, then...
Yeah. Okay, so now we're trying to figure out if it creates a psul deraisa, if that's true, what's a psul deraisa? So we said if it's gzela, okay, you have to figure out for Rashi, is there maisa chatifa? Maybe yes, maybe not. Well, if it's not, if there's no maisa chatifa, what's the psul deraisa? Maybe it's the mazik biyadayim. The fact that I lead my animal into someone else's property and cause damage, that's going to create a psul deraisa like the shita sabach. Okay? Now, perhaps Rabbeinu Chananel gives an entirely different approach to why their behema creates psul deraisa. Because Rabbeinu Chananel thinks that leading my animal into someone else's field, yes, it's nizikin, yes, it's being mazik, but that does not generate a psul deraisa. What? And that's why, right, exactly, he passed like the Yamshel Shlomo that does not create a psul deraisa. So, what's pshat in the Gemara here? It must be a case where you directly take it with your own hands. If you take it with your own hands, that's mamash gzela then. That's gzela.
Isn't it obvious though that it's in Zekin? It's obvious. It's like.
Pasha, yeah? I agree. I think to me, once you learn from Kivagar, it sounds pasha that the Rashi is talking about Nizikin. I think it seems pretty clear. I didn't see anybody who said this. I think as we go weiter in the number of more of the details now, I think it really comes true. Okay, so now I think with that in mind, maybe we're going to be able to understand the Rashbam better. The kasher Kivega had in Rashbam. The kasher was as follows. Rashbam says, pre-gzera, there was gzela going on. My roitzon was creating gzela, was violating gzela. And Rabbi Kivagar says, no, the roitzon is only a problem of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. They're going to eat the land and be a problem in the growth of Eretz Yisrael, but it's not going to be gzela, no one owns it. If you understand, though, now, that when Rashbam says gzela, Rashbam really means nizikin. It's really a psul of mazik. I'll explain to you the connection in a second. Gzela really means a psul mazik, being gori mazik. Then I can understand that you can be mazik Eretz Yisrael. You can be mazik, the chepsa, the kark Eretz Yisrael. Even though it might not be a gzela, you're not taking it away from anybody, but it could still be mazik. It's going to cause damage to the growth of Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's not going to be mamish mazik, because if it's mamish mazik, it should be a problem even in chutzah. If you guys saw all the Gemaras yet, there's only a problem in Eretz Yisrael, but not a problem in Chutz La'aretz. Why? If it's mazik, it should be a problem in Chutz La'aretz also. So it's a chumrah in Eretz Yisrael, but it's a chumrah of mazik, not a chumrah of gzela. Now that makes a lot more sense, this Shitas Rashbam, I think. Now we have to understand, well, if the Rashbam said gzela, how could I interpret him as being mazik? They're two different things. So that's what the Baba Kama people are familiar with. There's a Shitas Rabbeinu Yonah in the beginning of Avos, who says that the chi of the iser nezikin is b'chal the iser of lo sigzal. There's a broader category of gzela. We keep defining, well, what else falls under gzela? Does ribbis fall under gzela? Rabbeinu Yonah's mechadish that nezikin falls under the iser of gzela. So when the Rashbam says gzela, perhaps he means really nezikin. And when he says nezikin, so then that explains a lot more why nezikin could impact Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael more so than gzela. Gzela doesn't really impact, doesn't really, you know, work with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Let's go back to the Gemara now to see this idea a little further. The Gemara goes on after we just quoted Rava that says that when we say Roa is possible, it means a Roa Echad, Roa Behema Daka, Echad, Roa Behema Gasa. The Gemara says, well, don't we have a different statement of Rava that says, Umi Amar Rava Hachi, Vahama Rava, Roa Behema Daka, Be'er Psula? No. Only Behema Daka is a problem. And Behema Daka is only a problem in Eretz Yisrael. Just before we said any type of Behema is a problem. Anywhere. Eretz Yisrael Chutzart. We have another statement that Rabbah says only a Behema Daka in Eretz Yisrael is a problem. Gemara says, no, that's referring to the Behema Daka in Eretz Yisrael. That's talking about Megadlim B'chutzlar, Megadlim Idmar. When you raise Behema Daka in Eretz Yisrael. That's the problem. Raising them. Not necessarily being a roa, but raising them in your house. So what's the problem of being Megadlim? So Rashi says, Shemegadlim also bebatayim. They used to raise the tzon in their house. V'afil hachi b'Eretz Yisrael psulim. Even still, they raise them in their own house, it's still psul if you live in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because megadli behema daka, davidi deshamti, because the behema daka, the small animals, are very feisty, they're going to be able to get let loose. V'rahata l'toch hasadis, they're going to run to the other people's fields. Avagasa lo mishtamit, but a larger animal, a cat, won't be able to run off so easily. The efshar lenotra, and you could protect it. You could be shomer. What does that line sound like? Efshar lenotra, shmira. Whenever you talk about nezikin, you talk about shmira, protecting the animal. So Rashi, again, it's a dik. You know, Rashi doesn't have to mean shmira, but I think in light of what we said, that Rashi's working with all with nezikin, it makes sense what Rashi says about it's all about shmira. Why only behema daka problem in Eretz Yisrael? Because you can't be shomer a behema daka. But a behema gasa, a larger animal, you can be shomer. That's the chilah. Now, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, who it's not about shmir at all. It's about gzela, where the roa himself is taking the food out and giving it to the animal. So why should it be mechalik between a behema daka and a behema gasa? I'm going to take the food out regardless. So comes along Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? He gives another explanation why, as to the gzera, applies only to behema daka, and it's only for a technical reason. Really, theoretically, the gzera should apply both to behema daka and behema gasa. You shouldn't be able to raise either one in Eretz Yisrael, because if it's about the roa taking food directly, so who cares who he's feeding it to? So Tosfos gives a different answer. He says, yeah, I understand why for Rashi, the gzera, the iser applies to only raising small animals in Eretz Yisrael, because you can't be shomer small animals. Larger animals you can, so there's no iser to raise large animals. But if you learn like Rabbeinu Chananel, the whole problem of a roa is because the roa is going to take food from the fields and feed it to the animals. Who cares if he's feeding a bigger animal or a small animal? Either way, he's going to go ahead and do it. There's no reason to be mechalik.
So then why, she's asking, why was there always a psul daka?
No, well, why is there not a psul, why is there not an iser also for a behema gasa? I could feed it to any animal. So Tosa says, you're right. The issue of raising animals should apply also to Behema Gasa. Theoretically, it should. But for a technical reason, they did not extend it to a Behema Gasa. And what's the reason? Why? Very technically, because of the Lo Gazu Chachamim Mishum Ditzar Charisha. You need the larger animals. You need the oxen to plow the fields. The Ein Yichol La'amud B'Hag Zera. There's a concept, whenever people, the tzibur, cannot be omid on that gzera, they don't go there. So you're right, it should have been Gozer. The svara, the logic made sense, but they couldn't withstand such a strong Zera. So that's why we allowed it to slide. If you raise the Behemoth Gasso, we'll allow you to, that would be okay. It's not, well, later on, no. If you were a Roeh, it's a possible. If you're just Megalil, you just raise them in your own, there's a difference of a Roeh going out to the fields to go graze versus someone Megalil in his house. He just raised them in his own house, which is less of a problem, but sometimes they get loose. It's all the same type of concern, but there's a more of a concern of a Roeh who's actively looking for fields to graze in as opposed to someone who's more localized in his house. Okay, now, going right to the Gemara, skip a few lines here. The Gemara concludes the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Yehuda, stam roa pasul, stam gabai kasher. We didn't get to what a gabai was yet. We said there's a machokas how to define a gabai, but a stam roa is pasul. So just to point out here, Rashi and Rabbeinu Chana go to Shitasa once again. Why is a stam roa pasul? Rashi writes, that kadi lo chazin and de'ailayu behemosav besados acheros. A stam roeh is defined by someone who we haven't yet seen take his animals into someone else's land. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, a stam roeh is someone who we haven't seen the roeh physically take food out and place in front of the behemoth. The shitasa. No chiddush there. And then finally, the Yad Ramah wants to know why are we more machmir for a roeh as opposed to a gabai? Why is a gabai a stam gabai kasher? This time Roa is puzzle. What's the difference? So the Yad Ramah gives two explanations. Just to again finish this sugya, one with Rabbeinu, one explanation for Shitas Rashi, one explanation for Shitas Rabbeinu Chananel. No, more lean. Stam Gabai is kasher. Stam Roeh is puzzle. So why are we more machmir for a Stam Roeh? So as he said as follows, a Roeh, why is a Stam Roeh puzzle? Di nami lo mechavin, even if he didn't intentionally lead his animal into the field, others li behemos delay vile. Even though he didn't intentionally do it, the animals are still going to get loose and go into the other fields. So that's why we're more machmir for a roeh, but a gabai de efshele de lo shaki yisera lo gozer berabanan. But it's possible a gabai won't take more than he was told to collect. So it's all in his hands. It's all in the gabai's hands. But when it comes to the roeh, it's not in my hands. It's in the hands of the behemoth. I have no control of the behemoth. I have to protect him. I've got to watch over him. But it's up to the behemoth. There's a difference. The roeh is about the din of the behemoth, and the gabai is the din of the gabra. The gabai can control himself as the gabra, but he can't control his animals entirely, and therefore stam roeh is possible. That's all within Shitas Rashi. Then he gives another explanation, which is going along with Shitas Rabbeinu Chananel. No, why is your roeh more machmir or stam roeh? Came to labi yishuv koi. Afagav lo chazilei David came to yachol meve lo chazilei gazu bei rabban. A roeh doesn't. He's not in the cities where people see him. He's out in the fields on the mountains. Nobody sees him. He can do whatever he wants. You can't trust him. He could take from anyone's field, acres of land, and feed to his animals. That's Shitas Rabbeinu Chananel. But for a gabai, if I went to each individual, I took money from them, then the person's going to start screaming, well, you're taking too much money. So that's why. So that's, in terms of Pshat and the Peirush of Gemara, Yad Ramah offers two different explanations how to read the Stam Roeh, Stam Gabai case. And just to... Just to finish off, Shitas Rambam. Rambam in Hilchos Eidos Perek Yud Halacha Dalet. He says, "Zechein haroim echad roha behema dakav echad roha behema gasa shel atzman harayel psulin istam roha is pasul." Why? Shechaz kasan potion begezel. So the Rambam says the reasoning is because of gzela. Sounds like the Rashbam. He doesn't say nezika necessarily. He says more about gzela. That's all he says for us. So not much more to say there. Just pointing out, the Rambam also talks about gzela as being the problem here. So once again, this sugi, you read the Rishon Altar, No one mentions what the Isser is. Is it Gzela? Is it an Isser Nezikin? Rashbam and Rambam say it's an Isser Gzela. We're suggesting it's Isser Nezikin. Maybe that's what the Rashbam meant when he said Gzela. He really meant Gzela, the Hainu Nezikin. And the Rambam also says explicitly Gzela. Okay, so we'll stop here. And then, I guess Sunday, we'll figure out tomorrow whether or not.